talk about spiritual supplements, because God was impressing upon my heart the significance of the things that need to be added to our faith, as I'll read in a little while. But before we get to that, one of the things that we have been talking about is being profitable. Profitable. How can we, as the people of God, take what God has given us and then be profitable in the work to which we've been assigned? We've been talking about the talents and the minas, and how when God gives little, he expects a return on the little. And then from that little, he can increase that, or at least increase the responsibilities of those that are responsive or responsible over little. But then when God gives a lot, then God is still expecting a return. But the scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. So it's really saying to us, as whatever allotment that's been made to us, there is a requirement that's placed upon us by God, where God requires or he expects something of us. Even as the word goes forth, when the seeds are planted, the Lord is expecting a harvest. He's expecting the seed to produce that which seed is in fact to produce. Now, what I was looking at as I was meditating upon what I was to share tonight, how does this all tie into ministry? Because we realize, as we are part of a local fellowship, but yet we understand that there are various gifts and talents within this fellowship. We understand that there are gifts and talents within the body of Christ, but there are various gifts and talents within this fellowship. And what God has given us is a vision. He gives us an overall vision as it relates to the body of Christ, whereby we are to evangelize. The Bible tells us, go into all the world, the Great Commission, and proclaim the gospel to every living creature. But then there's also a vision given to the local house. But understand, when God gives a vision to the local house, it doesn't negate the vision or the overriding vision of evangelism or evangelization, but we realize contained within that is a specific assignment that God will give a given people. So in other words, there's something God expects of us as Cross Culture Church. There's something God expects of this particular church. There's something God expects of each and every member within the church. And it is based upon, it is predicated upon what God has given. And when we talk about God giving us something, do we recognize what God has given? And do we appreciate what God has given? Are we willing to see to it that what God has given us is multiplied, that it produces what God would have it to produce? Now, with a local church, we realize that we talk about the building, we talk about the edifice and the various ministries within the house. But understand, we talk about profitability. We're saying contained within the overall vision of this house are opportunities that God would provide for individuals as supplements to the ministry to which you've been called. In other words, I'll put it this way, the vision, let's say the overriding vision, the overall vision of this house provides opportunities. And what I mean by that, we praise God for the different ministries that have been birthed out of this house. One, even the school that's here. We recognize that it is an extension of ministry. You talk about firm foundation. When we talk about any ministry, understand what has happened. More than conquerors, it is an extension of what God has given us as an overall vision. Mind you, even ministries that have joined us, understand that the seeds that are planted, just like Hosea Helps and other ministries, Bethesda Ministry, all of these are ministries, but understand what God is saying. He said they are supplements to the ministry, the overriding ministry. And at the same time, they are to be profitable in their effectiveness so that they're making an impact upon the lives of people. But at the same time, they are of such that they can also provide for you. is what I'm speaking of, that God will provide for us, as he would talk about giving seed to the sower and bread for food. He will give you the opportunity to make an impact upon the lives of others, but at the same time, he will take care of your needs. He'll take care of the things that you have need of. Here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, let's begin here. It says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Now, I like the way he put it. He didn't say that I know how, I've always known how to do these particular things. But he says, I know how to abound and how to abase because I've learned that in whatever state I'm in, that I'm to be content. I've learned this. In other words, there were some instructions given. There were some lessons yet to be learned. And as those lessons were learned, they had an effect upon the individual that learned them. They were taught a particular thing, and understand what Paul was taught became profitable to him. He says, I've learned, and what he says, I've learned how to be abased, and that's to be at a place where taking a low road, but I've also learned how to abound. And then he says, that everywhere in all things, I have learned, even in how to be full, and that's when things are look like they're working well and they're profitable, but I've also learned when things aren't going so well, how to be hungry. He says, so the lesson that's learned is that the person that's learning the lesson knows how to adjust in any given circumstance, in any given situation. And the reason that this lesson is being learned is because they're learning how to trust God. They're learning how to depend upon the Lord. They're learning how to place their confidence completely, solely in him. So with this, he is saying that these are lessons that I've learned. And then he concludes by saying, now he takes it beyond what he has learned. Now he's speaking about the present. He says, now this is where I stand, and this is where I am right now. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why can I do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because of what I have learned. I've learned how to apply what God has given me. So as a result of it, when I look at any challenge, I look at any situation or circumstance that is before me, I have the confidence that I can do all things, but I can only do them through Christ who gives me the strength to do it. So that's what he's really saying. So once we've learned, now listen, mind you, going back to what we said earlier on, it is the seed that has been planted, but now the seed that has multiplied, that has produced within the heart of Paul the confidence so that whatever challenge he may face in the future, he's not looking at something that's overwhelming or something that will defeat him. But he is saying, I can do, but it's not me now. The thing I've learned is that God gives me the strength to carry out the assignment. Whatever that assignment is, I've learned that God provides the strength to carry out the assignment. Now, listen to what we're saying here. It is saying that beforehand, he might have been operating in his own strength. He might have been saying, in essence, that now that this is the challenge, now how can I figure out how to make this thing happen? How can I figure out how to make this thing work? But then he comes to the place through learning, through lean times, and in times of plenty, he has come to the conclusion that even in the lean times, he was strengthened to endure hardship. But then he also recognized that it was God's strength that sustained him even in prosperous times so that he would never get to the place of thinking that it was him doing it alone. He says, but now it puts him in a position where he has, I say, perpetual comfort, I mean, a dependency upon the Lord. I can't do, in other words, let's look at it this way. I can't do anything without God's strength. Now, we're going from the negative now. I can't do anything without God's strength. But with God's strength, God will provide for me the wherewithal to carry out whatever he would have me to carry out. So now we begin to understand something of Paul's situation and the lesson that we're to learn as a result of what Paul was in fact sharing. Now we go on further. He said, nevertheless, he talks about what has happened. He says, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now, watch what he's saying here. He is really saying that even in this, God used people. Now, understand this. This is the vision that God had given Paul, but these are people that God sent to him so that they would minister to his needs, that they would meet these necessities for Paul. But understand, he is still saying, God who gives me strength, God provides my need. He is really saying that it's God who provided for me, but understand how God was providing. He was providing through people. He was providing through people. God provided what was needed, but he moved upon the hearts of individuals so that they were able to see the necessities of ministering to Paul and ministering with Paul. So he says, so now they assisted in my need. So never come to a place of thinking that he can do it all by himself. He can do it all alone. But as a result of being faithful to God, we meant being faithful over a few things, God begins to move upon the hearts of individuals that they may participate in the work to which Paul had been assigned through his faithfulness. Then what happens, you see, when you see that, I would say the witness of Paul, the ministry of Paul, was a challenge to all the others who saw it. So now we begin to look at what he is saying here. He says, so now they came to minister to my necessities, but God provided for my need. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Now watch what he is saying here. He is saying, now, I'm not out here just trying to get you to give me something. I'm not here just trying to get you to minister to me, because he's already said, I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to be a base. I've learned how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But then he says, I'm not looking for you to just gift me and to always be about giving. He said, but I seek the fruit that abound to your account. I'm concerned about how you may be blessed as a result of having participated in that which God has assigned. He said, the work to which that I'm doing, this is Paul speaking, the work that God has called me to is ordained by God. It is God who has given me this assignment, this job. He says, and as a result of your participating in that work, understand God is developing you, because he talks about fruit. He's developing fruit within your life, because now understand what is being developed. You're saying, well, I'm releasing something, but understand this. The spirit of release is being developed within you. The spirit of release. Now you're not doing it out of coercion. You're not doing it out of pressure. You're not engaging in ministry because you feel someone putting pressure, or you're feeling so obligated to do it that you're just doing it to be a people pleaser. But you're doing it because it's coming from a deep place within you. It's within your heart. You see, it's coming from your heart. So now he's saying, understand what happens. Fruit is not something that you have to force to grow. It is, we mentioned beforehand, fruit. We mentioned that the other week. Is that the fruit of the Spirit, one fruit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, kindness, and all of that. But it's really one fruit. What is it? Love. These are different expressions of love. How can love abound from in your heart? How can you come to the place of loving God with your whole heart, soul, strength, and mind so that now these different expressions of love can be developed within you? And you have to force it. It flows out of you. It flows out of you. Why? Because you don't force fruit to grow. You plant seed and the fruit develops. So now, he's saying, that's what I seek, fruit that abound to your account. He said, indeed, I have all, I have all and abound. I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. And he talks about the attitude from which all these things come forth. He said, look at what is received from Epaphroditus. He said, sent from me a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. He said, what you did pleased God. He said, it was an aroma. It was something that was sweet to the nostrils of God. It was a sweet-smelling aroma. And he says, it is an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing God. And then he goes on. Now we finally get there. And then he says, now watch what he tells. He said, and my God shall supply all your need. Wait a minute now. You talk about you ministered to my necessities. You were engaged in the ministry to which I have been assigned, and it was the Holy Spirit that moved upon your heart in order for you to do so. He says, but now, he is saying, now my God shall supply all your need. Wait a minute now. What are we speaking of here? He is really saying is that now look at your ministry. Look at your assignment. Look at what God has called you to do within the framework of ministry that you are attached to. He said, now understand the fruit is developed within your life. Now my God, the same God that supplied my need, even when he supplied it through you, he is saying to you that the same God will supply all your need, and it will be according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said, provide your need. Now we have to understand, what are we talking about? Supply your need. What need? What need? What need? My God shall supply all your need. Because beforehand, you probably didn't recognize or realize that you had that much of a need. Listen to what I'm saying here. Follow me in this one. You probably didn't recognize or realize you had that much of a need. Because what do you need? You probably thought, I need food, shelter, clothing. I need companionship. I need to be loved and the like. But now watch what happens. Now God is taking ministry, and he's causing ministry to develop within you. He's causing vision to come to you. Now you're not just engaged in, they say, well, I'm helping them out in their ministry. I'm involved in that particular group over here. But now what is God doing? He is causing something to be birthed within your own heart. He's causing some. Look what happens now. And you begin to, you see, because now you're seeing more. You're seeing more. You're seeing people differently. You're looking at ministry differently. And you say, well, wouldn't it be something if we had this in place, we had this in place or that in place or the other? Wouldn't it be something if we were able to meet these needs? Wouldn't it be something if we were able to minister to these people, this group of people in this particular way and all of that? And the Lord is saying, what am I doing? I'm giving, now he is giving birth to vision within your heart, whereby you're postured to see more than you would have been capable of seeing otherwise. But because you gave your heart to ministry and was involved in ministry, now God begins to show you more of himself. More of himself is being seen by you. And then what is he saying? He says, so now understand, now food, shelter, clothing, companionship, and those other things that were your needs beforehand now aren't necessarily the most important thing to you. But what are you saying? I need resources in order to impact this community that God is calling me to. I need people. I need buildings. I need buildings to reach young people. You see what I'm saying? We need resources in order to provide something, because now we see the youth and young adults that they're in need of being mentored. They need someone to father them. And I need now the resources in order to provide that. Now watch what he's saying here. Now what is happening? Vision is being birthed within your heart. We talk about fruit. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you see, now you've gone beyond just meeting your felt need. But now there is a vision that I would say that goes further. It transcends those things that you would have been involved in. Because before, it's just me, myself, and I. What can I do for me? But now you're seeing ministry. And I would say, and God is saying, I'm calling you into this ministry. And understand, as you're being called into this ministry, there are certain things that you will need. But because you were faithful over a few things, is it making sense to you now? You were faithful over a few things. You were faithful in a few things. Whether you thought it was just something small. You're faithful in your tithe. You were faithful in your offerings. You were faithful in your attendance. You were faithful to make calls. You were faithful to witness. You see, you were faithful in these few things. But now the Lord is saying, now I'm showing you the larger picture. Now you're postured to see with the Lord or with the Spirit the things that God would have you to see. He says, so my God. And this word supply is a very key word. You begin to look at it in the Greek. I'll spell it out to you. I'll pronounce it, and then I'll spell it. It's epikorigos. But let me spell it out to you. Epi, you know what that means. E-P-I-C-H-O-R-E-G-O-S. Now, I want you to pay attention to that word here. Epi, you know the word choreogos. C-H-O-R-E, there's a word that, in our English, that is very closely akin to that word, and it's called chorus. You know, chorus, a choir. So when we begin to think about it, he's really saying, in essence, he says, my God, if you can look at this thing, it is saying that my God shall chorus unto you. Do you see that? My God shall supply all your need. He will chorus unto you those things that you need. So that now, look at what he's saying. He said, so the work to which you're engaged will be complementary to the work that another person is engaged. You see, what happens, now we begin to see, it is like the Holy Spirit becomes the choir director or the choir leader to supply, first of all, the instruments that are necessary in order for the band or for the orchestra to be put together. Because understand what happens, you understand, you put an orchestra together, you got to have instruments. You have to have instruments. And what happens, you say, well, we need some trumpets. We need some violins. We need some, all the instruments are in place. He says, but then, when you have all the instruments in place, this is God shall supply your need, the need for instruments. Then you need a director. You need a choir director. He says, so now, not only will he provide the instruments, but he directs the chorus. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directs the choir. Listen to what I'm saying here. This is what God is wanting to do. He is saying that I will take you and I will bring you into my choir so that you harmonize with all the other instruments that are a part of the body. you harmonize with all that's here. I will supply your need. I will chorus you. I will chorus you. So you become, and understand, I was thinking about the chorus. I thought about six-part harmony. You get to the place where now you talk about six-part harmony. You got the major keys, the minor keys, and all of this working together, and then you have various octaves. All of this is working together. And when you hear it now, it's not competing with one another, but it flows together. It flows together. Now, you have the sopranos over here, and you have the tenors, and you have the altos, you have the bass, baritone. But what happens when you put it all together? Now, there is a beauty out of the synergy that is developed and established when the choir and when all the instruments are playing the same song. He says, I'll bring you to the place where you will be playing the same song. Now understand, you can't do this trying to be yourself. I do it my way. No. Then what happens? You're playing your own song, and your song is competing with the rhapsody that is really to be played here. You see, your notes, you say, well, I know how to play, and you're on the side just doing your thing. It's in the way of what God would have played or what God would have done. But when you bring it all together, under the direction, because he leads us and guides us into all truth, what happens? That's why the word is so important. God, through his word, directs us. He provides guidance to us so that we are able, and we equip, first of all, and able to carry out that which we're being equipped to do. Because let me tell you something. All this word that you're getting, it won't do any good lest the Holy Spirit is engaged to cause that word that you're hearing to become life within you. But when it becomes life within you, then it can accomplish something far beyond what you could accomplish on your own. You see, in tune, and you're in tune with God. He wants to bring us in tune with himself. And that's, I call that harmonic perfection. I've done it before. The tuning fork, true C. It's when you begin to a piano's out of tune, and what happens? You say, "Well, C, you know the position of C," but that still doesn't mean it's C. That means that it has to be tuned in order to be true C. Now, here's what came to mind as I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how the Great Commission, he says, the general commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every living creature, whosoever believe, baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Then it goes all the way down the line. It speaks of all the signs that shall follow. In my name they shall. But then in verse 20 it says, and they went out and preached everywhere. And it says, and the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. In other words, in harmony with them. The Lord working in harmony. The Lord, they were synergizing with the Spirit of God. Lord working with them. And what he says, and since the Lord was working with them, and it says, so now this is what the Lord does, confirming his word with signs following. What is he talking about? We know the signs and wonders and miracles as we know this, but let me put it this way. He takes them beyond what they would otherwise be capable of doing in their own strength. Are you hearing this now? The Lord working with him with signs following. He said, this is what you'd know to take an aspirin when you have a headache. You know to don't go out in the cold if you don't want to catch cold or pneumonia. You know there are certain things that in the natural you can do or you ought to do. But understand, we talk about the Lord working with them. When the Lord choruses us, do you see that? We talk about the supplement. We talk about getting to the place whereby now he is supplying us. When the Lord courses us, then the Lord works with us. The Lord works within community. The Lord shows up in the midst of his people so that now it is not just based upon what we are capable of doing ourselves, but it's what God is capable of doing through us, which takes us beyond our own abilities. And that's what he's talking about now. The Lord says, I want to take you beyond your abilities. So now you hadn't seen anything yet. You hadn't seen anything yet. He said, but I have to get you to a place. A lot of folk want to just skip all of the steps leading to this particular thing taking place. And then when they see something phenomenal, you understand, there are false signs and false miracles and false wonders as well. But we're talking about the church, the New Testament church. We're talking about the church as it was in the book of Acts. How can the church move in this particular direction? He said, it will move in that direction when we're in one accord, in one place, you see. One accord, one place. And that's why it's so important. People say, well, you're harping on this thing so hard, so strongly about getting beyond ourselves and getting to a place where there's a willingness to engage. But let me tell you, because this is serious business. This is serious business. And I mentioned when I was challenged a few weeks ago physically, the reason I said I know the challenge came because of what I was teaching. I like what Pastor Greg said. He said, the Lord doesn't just order our steps, but he also order our stops. But I knew exactly what this attack was all about. In fact, I even called it that. I said, the devil is trying to discourage me so that when I speak of healing, when I speak of deliverances and all the other thing, he said, well, physician, in fact, the scripture came to mind, physician, heal thyself. He said, how could you talk about healing when you got a problem? So what I did, I said, okay, devil, I'll call a prayer line. I'm going to call a prayer line. I want everybody, I did that. Okay, everybody that, I said, we're going to anoint you with oil. I want to anoint you with oil because I'm believing that, in other words, rather than retreating, let's begin to advance. Let's advance because when the devil shows up, it's not time to step back, but it's time to step forward. You see that. It's time to step forward. So what do? You step up your game. You step up your activities, you see. So what happens, even now, I said, well, what are we doing? We know that this is an attack where people, the enemy will begin to whisper in people's ears. This isn't that necessary. This isn't that important. You follow what I'm saying? There's a World Series, not a World Series, playoff going on tonight. I mean, there are many other things. You've been working all week, and you've been engaged in activities all week long. So why is it so important? The enemy would love to lull the people to sleep. He will sing a lullaby so that people that are unaware of the fact that this is, in fact, taking place. They are lulled to sleep, and they don't even realize that the enemy has played a song, his song, to the people, so they become drowsy. I tell you, have you ever tried to pray in morning and night and look like it's just like that? My wife called it a sleep monkey. Yeah, they say just jump on you, and you just feel, you try to read a couple of scriptures and look like, more so than any other time, you get real drowsy. What happens? I've learned to push past that. I'm learning, I would say, to push past it. Because the hardest thing, I tried to get up at 5:30. But you know what I did? I'm just telling you what I did. I said, Lord, I used to set the clock for 5:30. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you to wake me up every morning. I'm going to trust you to wake me up every morning so that you be my alarm clock. You be my alarm clock. And what happened? The Lord doesn't fail me. He doesn't fail me. So when the alarm, when the spiritual alarm clock goes off, we look like at that particular sleep monkey. Boy, I get tired. I said, Lord, let me just lay here another 5 minutes, another 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then I said, But the Lord said, get up. The Lord alerted me. I said, I was in a deep sleep up until such time that I'm supposed to get up. I said, so now I am learning to obey. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm learning to obey the voice of God. So if I obey him in this regard, then I'm learning to obey him concerning other promptings that will come as a result of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not saying everyone that will be only prompting, but I said, Lord, I want you to wake me up. I want you to prompt me. I want you to nudge me. I want you to nudge me. So the Lord does it. I said, that would not be ridiculous. The Lord nudges me, and then I learn how to disobey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because that's what happens when you violate that. When you get to the place you say, well, I'm just going to go beyond this. Then you learn how to disobey God. You learn how. And then eventually, I would say the time that you become the sleepiest will be the time when it's time to pray. The time when you become drowsy, more drowsy. The time that everything pops up, every interference gets in the way, is the time when you ought to be doing what God has called you to do. Are you saying? But you have to understand, that's why it happens. Why is it this thing broke down now? Why is it that this conversation, the phone rang now? Why is it that these things are happening now? Because the enemy knows how to play you. So now in tune, perfect harmony. Let's look at another scripture here. How God takes us step by step by step into this thing. It's not something we just wake up one morning, I'm there. But God takes you step by step by step. He takes us by the hand if you're willing to be led. And he leads us and guides us into this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He said, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Well, understand what you're saying in essence is that, first of all, you have faith. You have faith. It is, I have faith, even if it is the size of a grain of a mustard seed, I still have faith. I still have faith. But the faith that I have is not sufficient enough for me to see all that God would have me to see. You follow? I can't see all that God desires to reveal to me just because I have faith. He says, I'm going to take you beyond your level of faith to a higher level of faith, but something must be added to faith in order to get there. He said, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And when you add to your faith virtue, he said, don't stop there, because understand, there's still more to be seen. Add to virtue knowledge. And then you say, well, now understand. I've added to faith virtue. I've added to virtue knowledge, but yet there are certain things that still control my behavior. But understand, it is the faith that you have as a seed that's been added to, and then the knowledge that you have attained that's going to control your behavior. He said, now what happens, you didn't know that all of these things would have to do with self-control when you started on the journey. But he said, but watch what happened. The fruit grows. He said, now you come to the place of having self-control. He said, now that you're self-control, he says, now add to that you're in control. That's not enough just to have self-control, because there's going to be some things that's going to come your way, even though you might have the right temperament towards it, but yet you don't have the endurance to continue on. So add to self-control perseverance, so that now there is the willingness to press beyond the resistance that comes your way. He says, so now that I am able to stand and withstand those things that's coming against me. He said, what else do I do? He said, now what I'm doing, he said, what is developed out of that is God-likeness, godliness. Now godliness. Now you understand, Christ-likeness is being developed within you. Now, it's not just what would Jesus do. What is Jesus doing through those who have yielded themselves to him? And he says, to godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. He says, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. We say it's about fruit. Unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he speaks of a higher level of knowledge, a higher degree of knowledge, because you understand there's gnosis and there's epignosis. You know or you're acquainted with him, but now you're coming to the place of knowing. There's intimate knowledge attained as a result of what you've grown into. Now you have grown to the place of intimacy. I think that was A.B. Simpson. I've been doing a lot of reading on A.B. Simpson. A.B. Simpson talked about the relationship that one would have, talking about a mother and a child, a mother and a child. He said, there's this thing that's called non-verbal communication. He said, the child isn't there to articulate the fact that he or she is wanting the attention. Neither is the mother there always articulating the fact that she loved the child. He said, but somehow, some way, the child just want to be in the company of the parent, of the mother. And the mother just want to have the child around. And when the child is there, he said that there's something that is happening there. There's a dynamic that's taking place just in being together or being in the environment of one another. And what happens, and he said, if there's a need, you're observing that particular need, you can take care of it. But in the meantime, it just brings joy to your heart to know that the child's there. I know that. I'm a grandpa now, and I've raised some children already. I know about what that's all about, is when you just want to sometimes just watch them. Have you done that? Just watch the child. Just watch him. And your mind is just going all kind of places. You said, this is my baby. This is my child. You're not saying anything. But what happens, the Lord desires the same thing. Sometimes it's not even word spoken. Sometimes just saying, well, Lord, I'm just in your company. I just want, let's hang out together. I just want, you see, and then there are times you're not saying anything. You're not saying anything, but you're in the presence of the Lord. You're in the presence of the Lord. And let me tell you something. The same thing. If you love the presence of the Lord, then wouldn't you love the presence of his people? Huh? Wouldn't it be kind of the same thing? If you love the presence of the Lord, then there's something about being around God's people. Being around God's people. Because you get a place, sometimes you're getting the word of God, but even if it wasn't a word, just together, that there's a dynamic that takes place in just being in the company of one another. Let me finish this, because I see my time. So he says that all of these things, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the knowledge, because now, understand what it's doing. We talk about the chorus. As we become that choir, that chorus, we are all growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. You see, we are all being developed to a place where we begin to see Christ in a way that we would have never, ever seen him before. See, the devil want to give you a substitute. He will give you a shortcut. But the truth of the matter is, this is what God desires for all of us. Now, with that, we talk about the fruit growing within our hearts. But then the gifts are functional because they are motivated by love. You see, I love you so much that your situation is a situation that I'm concerned about. And I'm deeply concerned about it. But I realize that in my own strength, I can do nothing. But the strength of God, you see, now what does he do? He accompanies us. He works with us. And he said, I gave you that concern. I'm the one that gave you that desire. I'm the one that placed in your heart the passion that you have right now. He says, so since I placed it there, he said, let passion continue to intensify within you. And then eventually it becomes a need. I can't wait to get to that part later on. It becomes a need. I need God to show up. Are you hearing something? I need God to show up. I need the power of God to manifest. It becomes a need. It becomes a need. It's no longer a suggestion. It's no longer a passing fancy, but it becomes a need. I need God to show up. I need God to manifest his strength. And understand, and my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Now, you're at a place where you'll not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the same Jesus from yesterday, as being the same yesterday, today, and forever, is operating today as he operated in times past. He says, but then it shows the opposite, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. And then it goes on to make it so clear, he says, and has forgotten that he himself has been cleansed from his old sins. He forgot where he came from. He forgot his origin. He forgot the fact that he used to be as messed up as the people that he's judging. So now God is desirous of taking us beyond. Now each act of obedience adds to the supplying of our souls. In other words, the supplements that we see from the Lord leads to our own wholeness. It leads to our own wholeness. So what happens? God is saying that when that love flows through you, it first of all has to come to you. So now what happens? His love is being perfected in you. His love has been perfected. So now it is the Lord loving through you. It is the Lord making the difference through you. Isn't that beautiful? How God can so impact the culture and people when we allow him to love through us. I'm going to follow my wife's lead. I'm about to go into something, but I'm going to pin it this time. Francine said, she said, last time I go into these subjects, and I don't have time to develop it. I have something here that I started with, and I'm straining to hold back. I'm straining not to. That's why I'm going to shut it down right now. I'm straining it because it's so, to me, it's so potent. It helped me to see Christ in a way I had not seen him before. This thing that I'm going to share with you, I'll share with you later on. So that means you have to come back, but God does supply. He supplies, and understand these supplements are essentials. The supplements are essentials. So I'm whetting your appetite already by telling you that supplements. Think about that. Think about supplements. How many of you take supplements? That's 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. And you get any assistance through the supplements? Does it help? Do those help you? They help. You see, there's something about taking those supplements, because you understand, it is not the fact that they produce all there is to be produced, but they assist. They assist in accomplishing a particular thing. And what the Lord is, I ain't going there. But the Lord wants us to take our supplements. He wants us to take our supplements. He is saying to us, don't add to whatever you might have received from the Lord. Add to it those spiritual supplements so that you can grow and develop into becoming all that God would have you to become. I'm using the restraints. I'm done. So, Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that even as you have shared with us what you've shared with us this evening, that we will take to heart what you are in the process of developing within us, so that our lives will become this symphony of praise, and Lord, of such that it will be music to your ears. Not just the things that we say, because we're not just talking about offering lip service, but we're talking service unto you. So that when we speak, we'll speak from a deep place within our hearts. A deep place within our hearts. In fact, this message is coming from a deep place within me. Because, Lord, how you're dealing with me is what you have given me to deliver to those who would receive. So my prayer, O Father, is that it will take root within each heart. And we said earlier that ministries will be developed out of what you're speaking. That it will not just be ministry as we know ministry to be, but it's ministry that you know that is yet to become will be the ministry that we'll be a part of. Ministries within ministry, so that those areas of need are being met through those who have the passion and the compassion to give their hearts and lives to it. So with this, we give you the honor, the praise, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.